And now it's time for the shipping forecast and reports from coastal stations. Here is the general synopsis at 0700 GMT. Cow in sea area Shannon moving slowly eastwards and filling. Sorry, that should be low in sea area Shannon. And now the area reports. 40s, 50s, 60s, Tyne, Dogger, German Bight, French Kiss and Swiss Roll. Westerly becoming cyclonic, good. Humber, Thames, Bedford, Leyland Daff, Dover Sole, Hake, Halibut and Monkfish. Regular outbreaks of wind, rain at times, good.
Well, the shipping forecast like you've never heard it before. More on that and the story behind it shortly. Hello, I'm Trevor Taylor and I'm standing on the quay at Brixham Harbour. One industry dominates this town and you don't need to be a detective to discover what that is. This is England's biggest fishing port. Here, fish is king. The harbour is lined with traditional fish and chip shops, but one fish restaurant dwarfs the rest. Rockfish dominates the entrance to this port. It's actually part of the fish market building. But this is no ordinary chippy. Rockfish is owned by Mitch Tonks, who is not only a highly successful chef and restaurant owner, but also a keen sailor and a member of the Cruising Association. I met him in his Brixham Rockfish restaurant and began by asking him about his boat.
I've got a Halberg Rassy 36.
Tell me a bit about it.
Well, she was a pretty new boat to me. She's 2002, and I bought it off an owner in Scotland who had fastidiously looked after the boat. I mean, she's in brand new condition, which is a real joy. But I got hooked on Halbergs last year. I had a Contessa for a long time, and I bought a Halberg 31 after reading a book about two young Swedes that had sailed around the world, and I thought, what a fabulous boat. Anyway, I bought this 31, loved it, and sailed brilliantly, but just thought it was a bit small, so I upgraded to the 36, and I absolutely love it.
So any plans to modify the boat?
Yeah, I'm planning a few little things at the moment. I was looking at all sorts of things like water makers and, you know, what you would need. Somebody said it was the best thing they ever fitted their boat was a water maker, but she's got big capacity for water, enough for a few guys to spend a couple of weeks on board, so I'm not going to bother with that. But I want a storm jib. Elvstrom make a wraparound one that goes around the furling head sail, and I've had my local rigger look at putting forestay on. And it seems like the removable inner forestay is a bigger job, but it's a much better configuration to fly a storm jib. And of course, it's that dilemma. You hope you're never going to need it, but the day you do, you do.
Glad you got it.
And you've got it. But I guess there's still that thing that if the wind is rising, you've got to get up on deck and rig up an inner forestay. I guess the same as you have with a wraparound. So I'm undecided yet. I'm putting a bimini on. And so a removable bimini, which would be really good. And I want to put a deck wash on, a little deck wash pump, just for the anchor. But no, I'm always looking to do little bits. I guess we all are with our boat. So if anyone's got any good suggestions to any little thing that you've done with a Halberg or a boat in particular of that size that you thought was brilliant, I'd love to know.
We put a deck wash on a couple of years ago. One of the best things we ever did.
Really? Salt water or fresh water?
Salt water.
Yeah.
And it means you can clean the anchor as it comes up and you can use it for washing down the deck occasionally.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Works really well. How often do you get the chance to sail?
Well, I try and get out on the water as often as I can, really. And during the summer, I try and combine it with work. So I live in Brixham. I have two restaurants in Dartmouth and I try and base myself there a lot. So what I'll do in the summer is sail to work, stay on the boat, go up and down the river. We have a restaurant in Plymouth, so I'll sail to Plymouth and have a couple of days on board and try and fit the sailing in with the working. And then I'll take a few weeks off and nip across the channel and do the usual stuff, which is great.
Do you catch fish on the way?
Try and catch fish on the way, but I'm usually pretty unsuccessful. I mean, you know, mackerel's always a good one. And there's nothing like, you know, fresh mackerel, just sashimi or just grilled on the back of the boat. It's great.
We'll come on to cooking later. But how about sailing ambitions? What are your plans?
Well, I mean, you know, I did my yacht master this year, which is a great thing because for years I've just been sort of teaching myself to sail. I did my day skipper a long time ago and I was always, you know, very nervous of my abilities. And so to be able to pass my yacht master was a good thing. But really what we're planning is to take the boat to the Med next year. We want to explore Galicia and the northern Rias there because the seafood is so good. And then take a leisurely kind of trip down. So I'm still working really hard. So it has to be a couple of weeks here, a couple of weeks there, and then have the boat in the Med for some warm water sailing. And then after that, who knows? But I think ultimately I'd love to do the Ark in a couple of years.
Well, that's quite ambitious.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I mean, I have no idea what ocean sailing's like. And I haven't done any really big offshore passages. So I think it'd be a great challenge. And I reckon with the right crew and the right boat, it's got to be a lot of fun.
How are you going to get time off of running the restaurants?
Well, interestingly, I'm not going to get time off running the restaurants, that's the truth. So I have to fit it in around my sort of holidays and low times. And the great thing about December and January, they're the quietest times for the restaurant, oddly. So going across the Atlantic at that time in 3 or 4 years should be great.
So, I mean, it's a lovely boat. And presumably you've got a very impressive galley, double ovens, 6 burners.
Well, it's not a huge galley, but it's very efficient. So I've got 4 burners and I've got an oven. But I tend to cook mostly on the stove on the top. And I'm never, you know, those kind of gas ovens are never really that good. I mean, they're okay for like a, you know, casserole here and there, but I really love cooking on the stovetop.
And can you cook a respectable meal on board?
Yeah, you know, when we go to France, I stock up with stocks and various bits and pieces and tinned veg from over in France. I think they love those little petit legumes that you get. And I've always got spices, curry sauces, rice, pastas on board. And, you know, one big square pan that I use and one round pan and a big saucepan. I can do anything in that, really.
When we've cooked on board, we tend to find the smell of fish lingers a bit below decks. Do you have that problem?
Well, I mean, you know, it depends. I mean, frying mackerel down below, you're going to get quite a strong smell, whether the fish is fresh or not. But I've never really had that problem. I open everything up and, you know, I'll pan fry the fish and eat it. More often, I'll make fish curries or fish soups. I find that really, you know, great on board. Or you can just pan fry a couple of fillets, but a fish stew is great to pop in the middle of the table.
So what bit of sailing do you like most? Is it the boat handling or the navigation?
I think it's all of it. I think what I really love about sailing is that it challenges me in ways that I don't get challenged anywhere else. So first of all, I just love the freedom and coziness of being on the boat. Even sometimes I just come out of the marina and drop anchor in Churston Cove and have supper on board and sleep the night and then back into the marina in the morning. Just because a little bit of escapism, you don't need to go far to have your own little island, which I think is which is the joy of it. But I do love boat handling, and I always find that challenging, especially in this boat. I still haven't quite got it right yet. And she's got a big kick to port. So coming out of a small finger berth, which is quite tight, with the wind in the wrong place can be reasonably challenging. But I just love that whole freedom of being on the water. But navigation also. I mean, there's so many tips and tricks that you pick up off people that come on board that I find it a fascinating subject.
Any hairy moments?
Hairy moments, yeah. I think actually when I did my Yachtmaster, we came out of the berth and I planned everything perfectly and everything went complete opposite of what I planned. And I just kept thinking to myself, not now, not now. And I was sort of thinking, you know, I didn't look like I'd lost control of the boat. And what I did was to just sort of not panic, took control of the crew and got myself out of the marina. And the instructor said, okay, that's fine. We don't need to go back in there now. I know you can handle the boat. But it was one of those moments I thought, what do I do? Got no bow thrust of the boat's being blown into another boat. I tried to come out stern to, tried to turn the boat round, the wind couldn't get it out. So then I came out stern to out of the trot. So yeah, I was a bit nervy.
I think we've all had those moments.
Oh, it's horrible when it goes like that. And you just suddenly, in fact, I also had one in Dartmouth coming onto the inside of the pontoon. And I'd read everything really, really well. You know, it was great. The tide was coming out and there was one space in between two boats, but I hadn't realized there was a big back eddy in that on the inside there, which of course local knowledge, after I've chatted to people in the pub, they know. And as I thought I could just ferry glide into this space, and of course as I turned in, this back eddy took the stern of the boat right the way around, and I was that was one of those moments of panic, but luckily no damage.
How about bad weather?
That's the one thing I haven't really encountered yet, is really bad weather. I mean, you know, been out in sort of sixes and sevens, tops of sevens, and always been, you know, in sight of land. So I've never experienced anything too horrible, and quite looking forward to it, actually.
What is it you fear most in sailing?
What I fear most in sailing really is one of my own personal challenges, which is being in wide open space. So I think one of the things that I sort of find is if you're in the middle of the Atlantic and you're bored, you can't get off. There is nowhere else to go, that kind of feeling of imprisoned. And I think that's one of my own personal challenges. But I don't fear the sailing or the boat's capability or crew capability. It's just that one personal challenge of how does it feel to be 1,000 miles from anywhere and you can't change that. We had a situation this year where we came out of Cherbourg and we were sailing along nice 7 knots. All of a sudden, the boat stopped dead and we'd hit a submerged crab pot that nobody could have seen. I mean, this thing was covered in weed, been under the water for ages. And we cut ourselves free, but this thing had got wrapped its around the rudder, so we had no steerage. Hellish tide running, and we had to put out a pan, and harbour police came out and got us, and we had to get a diver down. We went to a back in port. But what I loved was the ability of being able to discuss with your crew what we're going to do next. I mean, your immediate thing is, we're in bother here. right, what are we going to do? And I think if that had been bad weather, luckily the weather was pretty good, but if that had been a big swell, we probably would have lost the boat. I mean, it would have ripped out the rudder for sure.
That's very interesting because, as you probably are aware, the Cruising Association has been lobbying for better control of unmarked or poorly marked lobster pots.
On our coast here, as there is all around the UK, there are tons of them. And in a strong running tide, it is very, very difficult to see them at all. And I can't for the likes of me think why there isn't some kind of GPS or something on them that you can pick them up on any some kind of system that they would be there. Or even just marking them with an upright pole, a vertical pole at night with some kind of solar panel would be seems sensible. But this one in Cherbourg, the buoy was covered in weed. I mean, it hadn't seen the light of day for months. So obviously the tide, it had just set below the tide and so fast running over there that it never came up. And that was bad news.
That's potentially very dangerous.
Very, very dangerous. I mean, you know, as I say, we were lucky in it was a sunny day, 15, 18 knots of wind, which was lovely, but there was no swell. But had there been swell and we'd have caught that on the bottom and then risen a 2 meter swell, it would have done some damage.
Well, luckily you survived.
I survived. Yeah, it's great.
And here we are in Brixham. Tell me about Brixham.
Well, Brixham is a place that I came to live 14 years ago. And I came here because I bought all my fish from my restaurants in London. And Brixham has got a fine reputation for seafood. In fact, you know, we land some of the best fish in the world here. So I took a decision. I walked past a house that I liked the look of and said to my wife, let's buy this one and move down here. It was literally one of those decisions. We had a Bavaria 42 at the time and we kept that in Dartmouth. That was a place that we loved. And we bought the house and we bought a fish business down here and I was buying fish and selling it to our London restaurants. And eventually when we got rid of those, we opened restaurants down here and I've never looked back. It's just been the most wonderful life.
And what's it like as a town? Is it buzzy?
Brixham's a great town. It's got a real heart and soul. It's full of great people. I mean, the fishing industry is really vibrant. There's some really lovely characters in it. And over the last couple of years, there's been some really good restaurants, bars, pubs, holiday cottages, hotels. It's become a real, real place and property prices are really starting to move up. But it's just a lovely, friendly place.
And there are lots of events throughout the year as well.
We have loads of events here. I mean, obviously the sailing events in Royal Tor Bay, which is my yacht club, they host some fantastic racing events and cruising events as well. In Brixham here, we've got local community events that go on. We've got Fish Stock every year, which is sort of music, and Seafood Festival, which is really good fun. We still have the traditional turning on the lights. We have market days here. I mean, it's just one of those lovely old communities.
And pirates.
Oh, yeah, we have a pirate day, which I have never understood. Although, interestingly, one of my mates, Simon, who sails with me on the boat, he used to own the Golden Hind, and he was the one that started Pirate Day. And I said to him, blimey, what a legacy you've left. But having said that, I remember thinking what a strange day it was just seeing all these people invading Brixham as pirates. And it has become one of Brixham's biggest day, and it's fascinating to watch people come into the pubs dressed up, you know, like they're film stars. You know, they're not just wearing a pirate's hat. They've really gone to the effort and they're out enjoying themselves. And that's a really wonderful thing.
Now, your restaurant here overlooks the port. You're sitting here and you can see the trawlers coming in with their catch. What's that like?
Well, I mean, it's an amazing thing. And we were very lucky to be able to get hold of this building and put Rockfish in here. But I often go down to the boats as they land at 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock, and you know, take a tray or a box down there and pick up some fish straight off the boat and bring it up here and sell it to people in the bar and then cook it. And you know, that's a brilliant thing to do. I think we're probably the closest restaurant to fish in the UK here.
You couldn't get any closer.
No, it's great.
Unless you were on the trawlers.
It is. And I mean, what's really lovely is people just gather on the balcony and you can see they just look down into the boats up there with a cold beer and a plate of chips and, you know, some nice grilled sprat or mackerel or something like that. It's wonderful.
So what do they land here? What fish?
We land about 40 different species here, and it's considered some of the best in the world. 90% of it goes abroad. And the reason for that is that the species here are usually prime species, sea bass, turbot, brill, gurnards, fish that the Europeans love. And whereas we as a nation import all of our fish because we like cod and haddock. So that's our nation's favourite, and all these prime fish aren't our nation's favourite.
That's the irony, isn't it? Because the harbour here is surrounded by traditional fish and chip shops.
Yeah.
So presumably their fish doesn't come from Brixham.
There's a lot of fish and chips shops here that do sell local fish. There's a very, very good one, Simply Fish, which is owned by one of the fish merchants. And he does a great job. He sells a lot of local fish, as we sell a lot of local fish. But we also sell cod and haddock, as he does. And, you know, there'll occasionally be some haddock runs around here. And we'll occasionally see the odd cod, but it's expensive. But most of the fish and chip shops will be using cod from the Barents Sea, because and we use it from up there because It's an MSC certified fishery, so you can be sure of the sustainability aspects, which I think is really important when you're talking about such a high volume species like cod.
So how important is sustainability to you?
Sustainability used to be a buzzword that people used to talk about. We use sustainable this, we use sustainable that as a sort of marketing tool. For us, sustainability is a way of life. I mean, there is no other way, I believe, that businesses should operate these days. Why would you use anything that was unsustainable, whether it be packaging, whether it be, you know, any product coming through, and especially seafood. So the one great thing about our local fisheries here is that they're incredibly well managed. I mean, the boats are governed by days at sea, they're governed by what they can catch with quotas. And, you know, over the years, fishermen have become incredibly respectful to what's in the ocean. They're always giving us good news stories about there's more out there than being caught, which is always good. But I think they respect that, you know, they want that to continue.
Now, we're sitting, as I say, in Rockfish in Brixham, but this is just one of your restaurants.
Yeah.
Where are the others?
Well, we have Rockfish is something that we set up actually in Dartmouth. I had a restaurant initially called The Seahorse, where I still cook. The Seahorse is a very nice restaurant with a bar and a private dining room. We cook a lot of seafood over an open fire, lots of pastas. It's very Italian, Mediterranean food with a fabulous wine list. We have got a 20 quid menu there, which people come in and eat at lunchtime, which is great. And that's really for the locals and visitors that know about it. But other than that, it's not a cheap restaurant. It's a place to come for celebration and high days, and which is great. So yes, there's a mixture of both there. And we opened Rockfish up because me and my mate, who I set the business up with, Matt, we got 9 kids between us. And we were always struggling of where do you go and eat? You know, you'd end up going to a pub, sitting at the back, Chris. And we said, look, let's open a fish restaurant that started off selling fish and chips for people with good wine so that people come in, parents and kids alike, and you could have something for everyone. Now what Rockfish has evolved into is we char grill fish, we cook it on the plancha. It's quite a grown-up fish restaurant. We have fish and chips. But you can have a family sitting there enjoying $8.95 fresh whiting and chips or hake and chips. And you might have somebody next door eating sea bass and drinking Chablis. It's seafood for everyone. And we just try and make it really accessible and very simple.
Where are they?
So they are in Dartmouth on the waterfront. We won't have one in Plymouth at the fish market in Plymouth. We have one in Torquay on the inner harbour. And we have one in Exmouth, which is right on the slipway. Obviously Brixham as well. And we are just opening in Exeter on the quays there, right on the water. And we've just bought a place in Poole, right by the marina, the old Poole Pottery. And we are looking at a place to open in Weymouth as well, around the harbour. So I love harbour sides. I love being near fish markets. It's really important that we can get the fish there on the day. And so they're all great sailing destinations.
Let's go back to the Seahorse, because that's fine dining, isn't it?
Well, the Seahorse is, you know, fine dining can be misconstrued. So I think when you say fine dining, people imagine tasting menus and fancy Michelin-starred food. At the Seahorse, we do things like we cook turbots, we cook sea bass, we make wonderful lobster pastas, oysters, those kind of, you know, high-end seafoods. And the wine is very good. It's only 40 covers. The bar's very good. So it's easy to part with quite a few quid when you're in there. The restaurant has won many awards. Best UK restaurant. It's been in the top 100 for 10 years. We're now 10 years old. And it's become something of an institution. Food writers, Giles Corran, Jay Rayner, they've all written wonderfully about the Seahorse and loved it. And we have a lot of chefs eating there. And it's a lovely thing. It's a place that we love. It's our life's work, really.
Going to the other extreme, cooking on board, what's a sort of couple of tips that you could give?
Well, I think there's that one pan thing, which is always very good, and trying to serve out of the pan. One of my favourite recipes is making a fish stew. As I said, with a handful of mussels, some gurnard, some fish that you can get from the market or the fishmonger, just some olive oil, some garlic, some chopped onions, squeeze in some tomatoes, a bit of thyme, splash of Pernod, some water, plenty of salt, and put your fish in it and simmer it away for 20 minutes and pop it on the table with some fried bread and some nice garlicky mayonnaise, and you'd be incredibly surprised at what a wonderful bunch of flavours you can get from that.
Sounds delicious. Now, I noticed you've got the shipping forecast playing.
Yeah, it's a spoof shipping forecast that we got Brian Perkins to do for us. And he's a friend of a great friend of mine, Peter Richardson, who's a great fan of the restaurant. He's a comedy writer that did all the comic strip presents. So the wonderful thing is, when you go in there, you know, you start listening to it and you think, well, this is pretty cool, having the shipping forecast running in a seaside restaurant, and you realise it's a spoof.
White, Portland, Plymouth, Ginger Rogers and Finisterre, like flatulence, some rain, very good. Lundy, Funday, Sunday and Monday, wind southwest becoming cyclonic, bloody marvellous. Rock all, sod all wind, heavy showers, absolutely incredible. Malin, Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Cardigan, Pullover, and Southeast Iceland. Wind southeast, rain at times, slightly disappointing. And now the reports for coastal stations. Tyree, wind northwest, 7 miles, 1,004, rising slowly. Butt of Lewis, north, 5 miles, 1,006, falling. Wolverhampton, northwest, as far as the Ring Road, 998, rising slowly. Norway, Neil Point.
You know, Mitch, I've heard that so many times, and every time I hear it, I smile. Now, earlier you said that you had a treat in store for CA members. What do you have in mind?
Well, I mean, I think all of us sailing folk love to find a good restaurant, and in particular, we all love seafood. I guess our affinity with the sea and boats leads us to that. And we run seafood restaurants in some great ports that a lot of people in the southwest will sail to, so Plymouth, Dartmouth, Exmouth, Brixham, Torquay, all very accessible. And I'd love to see fellow members enjoying the restaurant. So what I'd like to offer my fellow members is 10% off in our restaurants. That's your food and wine bill for you and your guests. All you have to do is present your CA membership card at the end and, you know, just be honourable about it and, you know, treat your guests well and enjoy our restaurants.
That's very generous. And do members need to present their card, their valid membership card, before they order?
No, I think just present your card at the end. Don't go giving your card to other people. Just make sure it's your card. And I hope that we, you know, we can see a lot more fellow cruisers in the restaurants.
I'm sure it'll be very attractive. You'll be packed out. Mitch, thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure. Yeah, look forward to welcoming you all.